Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot is daf Ayin Aleph, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, and we got up to Tnan HaMadir Tishta. So we finished the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, Binogea, giving extra time to work out the marriage, in a case where, even though there was no specific time given for a neder that was Mechayev him to divorce her, but that, according to Rav, that meant how he needs to give immediately a divorce. According to Shmuel, we give him up to the end of the time that he would have had anyway. So now the next piece of the Mishnah goes like this, which is very strange and clearly represents a different modality of making a neder, because these aren't things that could possibly be a neder that one would make. Let's say it says there, "V'hamadir atishto shelo titon echad mikol haperot yotzi v'yiten ketuva." So if he says she's not allowed to eat peaches, so then he has to give the get right away. So, I mean, first of all, there's no possible way that he can usher his wife to eat peaches. So if we're talking about that the Baal made the neder, which we're assuming, because, I mean, otherwise, why is he responsible? Why would he have to be Yotzi V'yitin Ketuvah? So, I mean, how would he possibly do such a thing? So we must be talking about a case where what he said was that if she eats peaches, then Hana'at Tashmisha is usur on him. And that's the only way that he can actually prevent intimacy between them, because otherwise he's Bishu Ubad. But if he makes actual relations usur, so then, like we said, it's the same as saying a sukkah is usur. You know, if a sukkah is usur on him, then another sukkah. Then obviously it's daicha the sukkah, because we can't do something that's awesome. We can't force him to do something that's awesome. So maybe that would be what we're talking about over here. So let's assume that that's the case. Now, how come over here it doesn't say anything about a certain amount of time? I mean, until now we've been talking about, remember, starting from way back when we had the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about how much time can we give in the event that he actually made it impossible for him to have relations with her. And that was Machlokas 1 week, 2 weeks, a little bit of Beit Shammai. And then we got into all of these other inyanim of 30 days. And why doesn't it say any time over here? It's mashma that no matter what the case was, it wouldn't make any difference. Now, that's all very good according to Rav, because Rav says that in a case where you don't give any time, so then Rav says, so then if that's the case, then that's grounds for immediate divorce. Okay, but remember that Shmuel says that, and that would explain in the case that we had before, that she's not allowed to be nene from his mizonos or whatever, that was talking about, it said beferish, where there was a specific amount of time. And therefore we said if it's less than 30 days, so she can put up with it and he can be ma'amid lafarnas and so on. But according to Rav, we actually would expect that the Mishnah would set up a situation where we could see the difference between actually giving a time limit on a neder or what the impact would be if there's no time limit, which according to Rav is a very drastic impact. You have to give an immediate divorce. The problem is that according to Shmuel, it makes no difference. The time limit doesn't change how rapidly you have to divorce her. Whether you set the time as part of the neder or whether the time runs out where you didn't specify it, it's exactly the same amount of time. If she can get along for 30 days when you say 30 days, fine. And if you didn't say 30 days, so then at the end of 30 days, that's when you give her the get. So then why is this case different? Why over here does the Mishnah simply say you give an immediate divorce? Well, talking about over here is clearly a different situation. We are talking about, and that's the clue to the fact that we're talking about a different situation. We don't even raise the element of time for some reason. Now, that would mean that what we're talking about over here is where he didn't make the neder. She made the neder. So, since he was Mekayim the neder, that's the reason that he's responsible in terms of giving her a get. And that is also the reason why the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about time, and therefore the Mishnah's mentioning the question of whether there was a time limit or not, is entirely different in this case. Now, at this point, in the Gemara, we don't quite understand why necessarily it's true that changing the situation to her having made the neder and his having been mekayim the neder automatically changes the question of whether there would be a time limit involved. In the end, we're going to see that in a case where a husband is mekayim a neder for his wife, the reason that that is an unbearable situation is because when a neder is made, there's an understanding between people. You know what? He was really angry. This happens all the time, you know, where a spouse recognizes that there was an emotional reason for saying something that was outrageous, you know. But, you know, okay, I understand, you know, his emotions got the better of him, or he says the same thing about her. You know, give her a week and she'll calm down or whatever. But in this event, where he is the one that's mekayim the neder, he wasn't under any type of emotional stress that forces him to be mekayim the neder. He is calmly sitting there and saying to himself, you know what? If this witch wants to go ahead and make life miserable for herself, let her suffer. I'm happy she should suffer. So when she sees that, she is, this is what the Gemara comes out with in the end. I'm saying, not now. We don't know this yet. But she psychologically is devastated because she always expected, okay, you know, he will see that I set out to hurt myself because I was so upset. People do this all the time. They make suicide threats, whatever. And then you're supposed to come to the rescue, you know. But if you don't come to the rescue and you say, sure, go jump out of the window, I don't give a hang. So, and then you say that very calmly. So then the person concludes that the fact is you really don't care. In which case, she wants a divorce right away. There's not going to be grounds for let's give time for things to cool down, and then we'll fix the relationship, and there'll be a rapprochement for the no. There's no reason for that, and therefore the Mishnah says, okay, so in these cases, you give an immediate divorce, and it's not nugia the machlokas of Rav Shmuel. We don't know that yet, and therefore the explanation that Rashi offers why the Gemara thinks right now that that would obviate the need for giving any time for working out the relationship is simply because if she made the neder, then that implies that she's already worked this through. She has her own narrative. And once she has a narrative, you're not going to be able to work with her anyway, you see. So in that case, why would she look for a way out of the situation like this? We got angry at her. So we understand there's things to work with. But where she was the one who made the neder, and she is the one who wants out, and she is the one who wants the divorce, so then what's the point of waiting around? That's how Rashi understands it. Tosis doesn't like that approach at all, but being as this is a temporary measure, as it turns out, let's go with it, and we'll say that's the nafkamina. So, Achabamayas, Kinan Kagon Shinadra, he, Vikiyem La Ihu, and therefore it's very unlikely that she is now going to suddenly run against her own narrative. And because of that, there's what's the point of waiting 30 days? You know, women will never change once they have a narrative. Okay. So then what that means, however, is that what we are doing is blaming the husband for the fact that he didn't take care of the neder by being made for the neder, right? Because we're saying he has to give her divorce and give her ketuvah. I mean, if we were blaming her, so then why would he have to give her the ketuvah? So remember that we had a big machlokas before, and we had it a number of times. And the question is, when a woman sticks a finger into her mouth and bites it off by making a neder, who is the one that set that up? Him or her? As usual, of course, we'll blame him because he wasn't made for the neder. So that's called, even though she's the one that did everything, what do you mean? You stuck her finger between her teeth and that's why she bit it off. Okay. So that's called hu noten etzba'a ben shineha. He put her finger between her teeth, which he obviously didn't really do, but the non-response is the equivalent, since he's the one that is meant to take care of the situation from the beginning. And remember, we have been following all along the approach that this parak of Hamadir is actually a way of getting down to the bottom of the nature of the interrelationship of the issues of who owes who what. And that means that even going, digging down a little bit deeper, this question of who stuck whose finger into the mouth is something that has a very profound aspect of shakdu, is it not? In other words, how do we see the Torah is giving over the rights of Hafara to a Baal, Bein Ish Li Ishto? What is the meaning of it? Is it actually taking responsibility that she not be hurt? And that's the issue of Dvarim. There's two different types of Nedarim, remember. One is Nedarim that are going to affect the relationship between the two of you. That's called, Gavi, are you there? That's called, please write down, Dvarim Shebeino Leveina. That's called those things that are between the two of them. That's understandable that in order to preserve the relationship, we give him the rights to be made for your neder that would affect their relationship. But there's also the question of whether we are somech on the husband because she is somechet on the husband. And remember that the Gemara even uses this logic for cases where the marriage is not a deraisa marriage, like in the we had cases where she's already an onat nedarim, but the marriage was a marriage to Rabbanan, or the case of a charesh, whatever. So the case over there is that the husband can still be made for a neder, even though the neder is deraisa, and the hafara is only to Rabbanan, because the marriage only to Rabbanan. What the Gemara ends up saying is, because isha al da'at ba'ala noderet. So in other words, that means that the entire mindset, her perspective on how it is that she's going to be living, is taking for granted that her husband's going to be looking out for her. And that if her husband really doesn't want this, then she doesn't really want it deep down also. Which means that this machlokas about whether who noten etzba ben shineo, he noten etzba ben shineo, is really fundamental all the way down at the bottom of the psychological interaction between the two. So this would mean that if, assuming as we do, I mean, we don't really know 100%, but I mean, assuming that the Mishnah being a Stam Mishnah was said by Rebbe Meir. So then what you're telling me is that Rebbe Meir holds that who noten etzba ben shineo, since this Stam Mishnah is taking for granted that he would have to give her a get right away, and that the reason is because he wasn't Mayfair. So that must be that if he's got to pay for the divorce, he's got to give her a ksuva, it's his fault. But is that true? V'srava Rebbe Meir, who noten etzba ben shineo, is that indeed the case? What about the braisa that says that in the event that a woman is noderet to make herself a nizira, and she's not allowed to have any wine, is v'shama ba'ala v'lo haferla. So it says that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda say, look, it's her fault. He not nides bab and shineo. She stuck her own finger between her teeth and she bit it off. You know, what's that have to do with him? And therefore, it's up to him. If he wants to, imratza ha'ba'ala hafer yafer. He could, if he wants to, be mavato that neder, because it would actually, by doing such a thing, so she's considered to be making life difficult, and therefore he can be made for. We'll talk about exactly what kind of nedarim can be made for in a moment. But suppose he says, you know what? I don't want to have a woman who's going around making insane nedarim. This is ridiculous. I'd rather just give her a divorce. So then the halacha is he can divorce her, and he's not responsible to give her a ksuva, because she's the one who set this up. But that means that Rebbe Meir is saying beferush over here that he natna etzba ben shineo. So how could our Stam Mishnah, assuming it's Rebbe Meir, which is a likely assumption, how could our Stam Mishnah be assuming the opposite, that he's responsible and he does have to give her a ksuva? It's Rebbe Yossi and Rabbi Elazar who say, no, he's responsible because he was supposed to be made for an unotin etzba ben shineo, and therefore if he wants to do that for her, then that's what he should do. But if not, and he says, I don't want to be married to a woman like this, okay, fine, he can always divorce her, but he's going to have to give her the ksuva because it's his fault. Now, there, Rebbe Meir is the one who's saying, dafka, that it's the wife who was natna etzba ben shineo. So I had to explain our mission. Our mission, we said the whole point is, who natan, and therefore has to give the ksuva. Says the Gemara, okay, what we apparently need to do is to invert the shittas. Apparently, we got a little mixed up as to which side said what. And what it should have said is that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda are the ones who said he was the one who put her finger for her to bite. So that way it's consistent. Rebbe Meir is consistent with the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. And Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Elazar Omer Amid Natna. We must have gotten mixed up in who said what. Says the Gemara, no, it's not going to help you, because then you might have fixed Rebbe Meir, but then you got into trouble with Rebbe Yossi. Because now you put Rabbi Yossi together with Rabbi Elazar as saying that she is the one who's responsible. But that's not what Rabbi Yossi holds. There's Sava Rabbi Yossi, he natna. Take a look at our Mishnah. It says over here that he has to give a ksuba. And Rabbi Yossi says, this was in the case where it says that he was madir asishto, that she should not be mitkashetek with a ne'ene. So he has to give her a ksuba. Rabbi Yossi says, in the case of an aniya, so this is a poor woman, the only time he has to give a divorce for not using an ANA, which anyway she can't afford, is only if he didn't give any kind of limit. He just made it stop forever. So there, according to Shmuel, we have to say, obviously, otherwise we would give it the maximum time. So we still are going to have to say that it must be the wife who said the neder, and it was the husband that is responsible because he didn't do anything about it. And since it's talking about an immediate divorce, so it makes sense. It's the same as we explained the case before. But what does Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi says that if in that case, it, whatever the shir would be, you know, for aniyot, for ashir, but whatever it is, she can actually demand her ksuba and that she should get a divorce with a ksuba. So then that means that Rabbi Yossi is agreeing that he's the one who's responsible for not being made for. Forget about the question of how long it is. That's not the point. But the point is that whatever the length of time is, he says Rabbi Yossi is going to have to give a divorce. Okay. So that means that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi both agree that the husband is responsible for her biting off her finger, right? So what's the machlokas over here? We stuck Rabbi Meir on the, it's all very nice. And now you inverted it. So Rabbi Meir makes sense, but if you're going to invert it, you make Rabbi Yossi not make sense, which basically puts you between a rock and a hard place, because whatever thing you say, you're going to be causing a contradiction, either between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir, or between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi. Aha! There's a simple solution. What we could do is, we could say we got everybody mixed up. We should have put Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi together, and that way we would have put Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar together, and we would have had Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi both saying that it was who? Shenatan etzbab and shinea. So that way we fix it all up. I mean, it takes a little bit of surgery on the brisa, but it still works out. We've got two for who and two for he. And remember that he is she. Anyway, so getting on over here with this new tikkun of the brisa. So Ema, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi together, Omrim Hunotein, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Omrim Hinatna. Okay, says the Gemara, but that doesn't work either. Why? Because then you create a problem with Rabbi Yehuda, because you're claiming now with this new way of reading the Brisa, Sava Rabbi Yehuda Hinatna. The problem is in our Mishnah. It's clear that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the natna, because what does Rabbi Yehuda say in our Mishnah? That if she can't eat peaches, so then Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if you're not a Kohen, you can go ahead without eating peaches for a day. But if you are a Kohen, you can go ahead and not eat peaches for 2 days. Obviously, it has nothing to do with whether you're a Kohen. It has to do with whether we want to give you the extra time. Since if you're a Kohen and you had to divorce her, you're never going to be able to take her back again. So going to Rabbi Yehuda, we give you extra time. But the bottom line is that Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing that what? At the end of that time, whatever it is, you have to divorce her and give her a ketuvah. But she made the neder, darn it. Okay, so obviously Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that hunatan etzba'a ben shinea. So now you're really stuck, because no matter how you set up the brisa, since the brisa is set up as two against two, and now you've got three that all hold that hunatan etzbab and shinea. How the heck are you going to work out this brisa? Huh? I'll tell you how I'll work it out. It's very simple. I will turn it into three against one instead of two against two. Okay. So I will have Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. All three of them agree over here. Hunatan etzbab and shinea. And only Rabbi Elazar is the one who says, he not na. Now, I know that that is already a very difficult surgery, right? Because, I mean, Bishlama, if a braita is constructed along the lines of two against two, I understand that you can get confused about which two are against what. First, we thought it was only which two said what. Then we realized, well, we're going to have to change which are the two. and how we split the pears. But to come along and to say, no, there never were any pears. I mean, we've been talking about peaches, not pears. And the problem is to change the Girsa completely and to make it a 3-1. That's very difficult to believe when we started off with a 2-2. Look at this. We're all put together over here giving our Zoom L'chaims, I mean, our Boost L'chaims. So, turns out that one of the sponsors of Zoom's owned Boost, but we won't say anything about it. We don't have to openly admit concealed financial interests here. So in any event, the question is that you might not agree with that. And I would understand that. So the Imtim Tzolomer, if you come out to say against me, come on, man. The Braisa is obviously a pair of Braisa. Zugi, Zugi, Katani. It's not just arbitrarily two and two. It's not the same as 3-1. So I can still tell you another Terah. It's a very simple Terah. The whole thing was based on the assumption that the Stam Mishnah is Rebbe Meir. But there's plenty of times. Weima masnitzin deloka Rebbe Meir. Okay. So what's the big deal? So maybe we made a mistake. And therefore, we could say that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Elazar agree that he natna. Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi omrim hu notain, which is a simpler surgery. And as to the question of, but how could Rebbe Meir say that if he says in this Mishnah that hu notain? He didn't say it. It was somebody else. It was another Tana that Rebbe Pasker Mark, and the Stam Mishnah was not like Rebbe Meir. What do you want? Okay, this is not the end of the world. Stam et aloka Rebbe Meir. Anyway, the bottom line is that what we're learning over here is the last two cases about the Anea and the peaches is all about a case where, I mean, we proved this at Libet Shmuel, but it makes a heck of a lot of sense at Libet Rab as well, that we're talking about that she made the netter and he was Mekayim the netter. And that gives us another problem because what we now understand is that Rabbi Yossi is saying, when he added that thing, that it depends how much money you have, if you're used to living with an ANA or you're not, that Sefer Rabbi Yossi ba'aniyot shalonatan kitzva, you're saying that in the event that Rabbi Yossi is saying that in the event that he said, whatever, made a stam letter, there's no end, that he has to give a divorce if he didn't mefer. So what are you saying? You're saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, he could be mefer. No, the only way you worked out the Mishnah is that she made the netter and he's responsible for not being mefer. There's only one big problem, and that is that Rabbi Yossi does not hold that a husband can be mefer a netter about perfume. That's the problem. And now the whole thing doesn't work out, because the only way we worked out the Mishnah to any level of satisfaction was saying that she made the netter and he's responsible for not doing the hafara. The problem is that Rabbi Yossi, you see from your Alma Baal Matzi Mefer, obviously if you're holding him responsible, it means that he would be able to be made for the netter. But the problem is that Rabbi Yossi says, Eilu Devarim Sha'a Baal Mefer, Devarim Sheyesh Bam Inui Nefesh, things that cause her real pain. So, for instance, im erchatz, im lo erchatz, the Mishnah is, the language of the Mishnah is confusing. In Masechet Nedarim, it understands that the word im erchatz means, if I do take a shower, then I aser danov, showers on me forever. Or im lo erchatz means she makes a shvua that she will not take a shower. But that's not our problem right now, the language. It's clear what it's talking about, right? Im et kashet, if I use perfume, if I don't use perfume. Rabbi Yossi says, come on, that's not called inui nefesh. I mean, inui nefesh, you can get along without showers, you can get along without perfume. But what's called inui nefesh, shelo chalbasar, shelo eshta yayin, or shelo et kashet, bigdei tzivonim, I'm not going to wear nice clothes. Okay, but that would mean that bedavka, according to Rabbi Yossi, if she's saying shelo et kashet with perfume, that's not considered to be inui nefesh. And the husband would actually not be able to be mefer. Now, what we're talking about, you're right, 100%. We are not talking about issues of inui nefesh. But remember, there are two sets of things that it can be mefer. And the other one, Gavi, is dvarim shebeino levena. So anything that would affect their personal relationship, their intimate relationship, that would be, yes, something that he could be made for, a little bit of Yossi. And therefore, when we're talking about et kashet, we are not talking about utilizing perfume. We're talking about utilizing depilatories, which may have to do with pubic hair and the way that he's used to having sex with her and so on. That affects their personal relationship. And therefore, he can be made for that netter, not on the basis of her pain, but on the basis of the way that it affects their intimate relationships. But wait, that itself is not so clear, isn't it? I mean, yes, that works according to the Mandi Omar, who says that this type of personal matter, in which the way that she treats her body in intimate areas, that that has to do with the husband. There is indeed a shita that holds that that is considered to be dvarim shebeinu levina, which the Baal can be made for. But there's also a very important shita that says that this is not considered to be a davar shebeinu levina. And lamandi omer ina baal mefer my ikal amir. But where do we see that machlokas? The yitma. Dvarim shebeinu levina, and it's specifically, we work it out in the Gemara over there, that it's talking about these type of things, not dvarim shebeinu levina, like hanas tashmish or stuff like that, which is directly, obviously going to affect intimacy, but rather various ways in which she cares for her body that would affect intimacy. So dvarim shebeinu levina, Rav Huna says that the Baal can be made for. But Rav Ada bar Ava says, no, the husband cannot be made for. Why? I never heard of a fox dropping dead in his own den because of the stench, which means it's very much not a modern idea, but which means that, you know, well, once two people have gotten used to each other, you can't claim that not using the correct kinds of personal grooming elements is going to represent a beino levina. And there are indeed many couples, both of whom smell to high heaven, and whatever, they sort of get used to each other. And that at the time, says Rav Ada bar Ava, that's like claiming that a fox is going to drop dead because he walked into his own den. You might drop dead, but he ain't going to drop dead, in which case it isn't really Dvarim Shebeinu Levina. So what are you going to do about that? Shalom Atzinu Shu'al Shemait Be'afrapir. Okay. In order not to get involved in that machlokas, what we could say is that we're talking about over here, is that she was tola the question of her kishutim b'tashmish amita. What she says was that if I utilize ane, then I am asering myself in having any pleasure in sex with you. Okay, so then that obviously does get involved in their intimate relations, and therefore he does have for sure, according to everybody, to be made for it on the basis of b'no levina. And that would be Kiri Omar Rivkana, the Omar Rivkana, Hana'at Tashmishi Alecha. That's ridiculous. If she tries to aser him in having Hana'at from her body in intimacy, he has no right to do that. And therefore, that for sure is something that we can be kofel umishamashto. So she cannot answer her body on him because that's Meshubah to him. But if she says that the Hana'a of sleeping with you is Asura on me, then we have a problem because then we can't force her to do something which is Isura Hana'a to her. And therefore, he should and can be Mefer. In the same way, we won't force a guy to sit in a sukkah on sukkahs if he Asur the Hana'a of a sukkah on himself, even though it's going to end up being Mevatel a mitzvah. But we can't force somebody to do andover, which is usher. So that would explain why it would still be a valid netter. Yeah, but I don't understand. So let her not use ane, and not become asura. And I said, what are you saying? You're saying, well, since she said, if I use ane, it's going to be usher for us to have any intimate relations, you should be made for it. What? Let her not use an ANA. I understand. If she used an ANA, I understand. But then you can be made for the letter. But right now we're in a situation where, so let her not use an ANA. I don't know what that means. She's not going to take a shower. Let her not take a shower. No, come on. Ultimately, I mean, she's going to be under such social pressures. Her friends are going to call her Miss Stench. You know, what are you going to call her? Minuvelet? I mean, how long can she go along like that? And so for all intents and purposes, we might as well face the music. She is definitely going to end up becoming asura to him. And therefore, he should go ahead now and be made for that net. Fine. So, all right. So now what we're saying is that in the event that she makes a netter, he's not made for the netter, then there is no time that is given and it's an immediate divorce, even Aliba de Shmuel, right? But why? Let's say What's the worst that would happen in this case? The worst that would happen is she did go ahead, she took a shower, and now she's asura to have relations with him. And what was the din in the whole mission that started this series of issues that have to do with Nedarim? The din was that according to Beit Shammai, you have 2 weeks in which you can be asurim to have intercourse. And according to Beis Hillel, you have 1 week. And we're saying that it's an immediate divorce. Why is it an immediate divorce? Go ahead, create the Isser, go take a shower, and then be Asura for the 1 week Alibi de Beit Hillel, or for the 2 weeks Alibi de Beit Shammai. Why are we saying give an immediate divorce today? I don't understand how it could be better than the Neder actually coming into effect. Why immediately? And here is where the Gemara finally gets to the psychological difference between the first cases in the Mishnah where he was the one who makes a Neder when he's having an emotional moment. And the second part, Stephen, I think you're starting to fall asleep a little bit there. And with the second part of the mission, where she makes the debtor and he's not Mayfair, which we had a little bit of difficulty initially in understanding why is that such an important difference. And now the Gemara is going to clarify that Han Emili, where did Shmuel say that we're always going to let you wait until the very end because we want to offer you that week or that 2 weeks or the 30 days in the case of the problem, whatever the case is. We always hope that we can bring about a reconciliation. That's only where in the case of his making the net, right? Because over there, she thinks to herself, okay, he got really angry. That kind of thing can happen. He's really angry at me. And for sure, he's going to settle down and he's going to end up getting a heter for that net, okay? But in the case where she goes ahead, and she is the one who is angry. And he says, you want to threaten me with suicide? I'm very happy. Go jump off the bridge. Ha ha. I'll take a movie, please. So in that case, she is convinced. Oh my God. He must really hate me. So Savar, she says, Mida Ishtik for not responding. Minta the Sunny Lehi Mamish hates me. And therefore, in that case, she can't live with it. And she wants an immediate divorce. And having gotten into that kind of state of mind, we will actually, if you hold that Hunatan Etzba Ben Shinea, we will actually force him to give a divorce. Okay, then what about this business of a time limit, according to Rabbi Yossi? Let's just get to that last piece. Rabbi Yossi Omer, if it's someone who's poor, then the only time that you have to divorce her is if it was an open-ended netter forever. But if you gave some kind of time limit, then you don't have to get it. No, what do you mean some kind of time limit? How about 50 years? I mean, I understand what you mean by some kind of time limit. What do you call a time limit? Bekama kitzba, Om Rav Yonah Mishmuel, 12 months. So that's basically the maximum that she can hold out in not having these kishutim. Rabba Bar Bachana, Om Rav Yochanan, 10 years. Rav Chisda, Om Rav Avimi, only, it's not a question of the amount of time. It's the question of whether for Yontiv, she's still going to be Ozer. If she's still going to be Ozer for Yontiv, she can't take it. So if it's a week until Yontiv, it's a week. If it's a half a year until the next Yontiv, Pesach's coming around, fine, until Pesach. But it cannot extend to the point where she's unable to take a shower for Yontiv or unable to make herself beautiful for Yontiv with whatever she can. Benot Yisrael, mitkashtod baregel, and that's completely understandable. Rabbi Yossi then said, but if she's rich, then 30 days. Why 30 days exactly? I mean, these women are used to using these things every day. So where'd you pick it up 30 days for? Basically, her permanent lasts her for 30 days or whatever it is that she's done for us. There's always a little left of the smell of that delicious perfume. You know, I can still detect it. But after 30 days, it's over, which brings us to Ozer Richard.
Zot Heleke Mishpah.
Excellent. Now let's move on to other types of Nedarim that affect the interrelationship between the families. So suppose somebody makes a Neder that prevents her from going to her parental home, right? I mean, how could he do that? He could say that hana'a tach mishi alayich, whatever, in the way that we worked it out before, or could be talking about that she made the neder, he was mekayim the neder, however we want to work out that issue. We've already gone through those possibilities. So let's skip that over. How could he do this? But effectively, it ended up that she would not be allowed to go visit her father's home. So then, Bizman Shuhu Ima Be'ir, if the family lives in the same city, then she can do this for 1 month. But for 2 months, meaning for more than 1 month, then he has to give her a divorce and pay her ksuva. If the family, her family, lives in a different city, so then if it includes one regel, so then he can keep her, because she can live with one regel. But if it includes three regalim, then he has to pay her ksuva. Now, of course, this makes no sense, because there is something between one and three, last I heard, and the first part implies that two would be a ksuva, and the second one implies that two would be a kayem, and the Gemara, of course, is going to ask that contradiction. Suppose he makes a neder again, how effectively, whatever the case was, effectively she cannot go visit the house of Avelim. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe she comes back being miserable for 2 weeks. It's on the heck with it, no more. Or she can't go to weddings, you know, or to parties. Then he has to give her an immediate divorce. Why? Because Noel Bifanel, he's basically locking the door to living. You can't live like that. The imo ayato ein mishum davar acher, if he has basis for it. So let's say he says, you know, what kind of debauchery goes on in these places and the people that attend these kind of affairs. My wife cannot be around those type of completely disgusting people. Fine, that's understandable, as the Gemara will say, in the event that he could show that to be true. He can't just pick it out of a hat. So then Rishai, then he's allowed to do that. If he tells her that on condition, meaning we can only continue to have relations, whatever the case was, let's say it's the old idea of her saying, I will not eat peaches, and he says, I'll only be made for the debtor to you on condition that you tell somebody what you told me. So Gemara is going to say it's talking about something that's very intimate and is not something that is normally shared, and she would be embarrassed to say it, or what I told you, or I want you to keep filling up and pouring out in the garbage. Again, the Gemara is going to talk about what is that supposed to mean. Yotzi v'yitin ktuva. Again, these are grounds for immediate divorce. Now, our first question is obviously the contradiction between the one and the three and ignoring the two, right? So haguf akasha, you just contradicted yourself. First, you say that if you made such an eder for one regel, so we could tolerate one regel, which is mashmet if it's more than one regel, if it's two regel, then we can't tolerate it, right? I mean, that's how I read it. And then you turn around and you say, if it's for three, then your TV takes tuva, which is mashmet if it's two, then you can be mekayim. Well, make up your mind. Omar Abaye, well, it's very simple. If we're ready to take for granted that Rabbi Yehuda would argue over here about the difference between a bat kohen, an Eshes kohen and an Eshes Yisrael, so we could say that the last piece of Eshes Merames to Rabbi Yehuda's din, that it depends. In other words, if you're kohen, you're going to divorce her and you'll never be able to remarry her, so then we want you to have extra time. So then we say you could be Mekayim for two. If you're Yisrael and you would be able to take her back, so then you can't do more than one. That makes sense. Rabbi Barula says, no, I don't get into that. There are different type of women. Lokash, kan beridufa and kan b'she'ina ridufa. The first part of the mission was mashma, that more than one regal she can't tolerate. That is a woman who is emotionally attached to the parental home. She's going to go nuts if she doesn't have the opportunity to be able to go home. And she can't take more than one regal. And the other one is talking about a mature woman who is already with her husband, is used to living with her husband, and no longer sees herself as living in her parental home. And this is a beautiful, beautiful medrash, famous medrash, that when it says in Shir HaShirim, Oz hayiti be'enav kimotzeit shalom, that at that point I became, meaning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but of course it's stated as the entire beautiful Shir HaShirim between a man and a woman. So then the woman is talking, she says, at that point I was someone who found absolute perfection in their eyes. What was that talking about? Omer Rabbi Yochanan means like a kalash in imtzet shleima bebet chamia, uredufa leilechu lagid shivcha bebet avia. That this is talking about that stage, that opening stage in a marriage, where this woman is like, oh God, what are they going to think of me? And they're going to get to know me. And then she turns out family loves her and they treat her like a daughter and she fits in with everybody. And she is so excited about this transition in her life that she can't wait to share it with her parents and to let them know how it is that their wonderful daughter, even though they always thought that she was an idiot, well, she's found a place where now everybody thinks she's great. What do you think about that? So in any event, she's anxious to get home and to share the way that she's been found. She says, redufa, they use the same word over there in the Haggadah, redufa leila chula hagi jivcha bebeit avia. And by the way, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually makes that distinction in the Novi Hoshea. So it says, vayaba yoma hu neum Hashem, tikri'i ishi velo tikri liod ba'ali. The day will come when you will no longer refer to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as your husband. You will call me your man. Meaning, I'm not in charge. It's not about husbandry. This is about simply not ownership, but rather my man. And what is that? Referring to Amr of Yochanan, that's when you become mature enough to be like a kala bebeit chamia, the loka kala bebeit avia. I was always hanging on to your family. And you haven't learned to discover a new life for yourself, which you're completely at home with me in the Beis Hamikdash, and you're still stuck with your old human nonsense. It's time to grow up. At that point, you will live with me like a husband. Continues the Mishnah. Hamadir et ishto, not to go to the Beit Avel, or not to go to parties, or not to go to weddings, and so on. You're closing the door to living. Well, I understand about parties. Yes, I mean, why is it closing the door to living, not to go to houses of dying? That I do not understand. So, Bishlam lebeit hamishteh. Yes, of course. I mean, look, Ika noel befaneh. Rashi says a beautiful thing. The noel befaneh is there's nothing to relieve depression. You know, there's so much to be upset about. If you get a party, you know, okay, fine. You go to a wedding, have some fun, and go out with the girls, you have some fun. But she can't have fun. She's going to end up impossible to live with. I mean, she's like, she's just miserable. So you can't do that. But Beit Avel? Well, I mean, what's wrong with not going to Beit Avel? My Noel Befaneh Ika. Why is it so important to go to a Beit Avel? That's because, like the Braita says, L'machar hi meita, then go bira sovda. It's very simple. If she doesn't participate socially, remember, Avelut is a profoundly social interaction among the living that is part of learning to deal with mortality. And therefore, if she's not given that opportunity, then ultimately she knows that she is doomed. Because what she's thinking is, okay, so tomorrow I'm going to die. Who's going to care about me? In Kol Biryas Softa, somebody's going to be talking about me, the witch that never came to say anything nice to us when we were in pain. And some say, Ikedi, I mean, no one's even going to bother burying her. I mean, I don't care, they think. I don't care. They don't know that I'm not allowed to care. I don't care. Tanya, Ya Rebbe, Meir Omer. Why did Shlomo HaMelech write in Kohelet? Tov lalechet al beit evel, milechet al beit pishteh. It's better to go to a house where people are mourning than to go to a house where they're celebrating. Basher hu sof kol ha'adam, v'achai yitein elibo. Being as this is a universal end to every life, and those who are living will take it to heart. Take what to heart? What do you mean by take it to heart? V'achai yitein elibo. It means that they should take the issues of mortality to heart. Devarim shel mita. You can't live as if you will never die. Disapad yispedune. If you recognize the fact that if you care about others and you will say espedim about them, then others will come in your time to say things about you and to be maspid you. If you join a funeral procession or you go and you bury someone, then the procession is actually later separate. But if you will actually help to bury others, you'll join the Chevra Kadisha. So then you will be buried in your time. The Yadal Yadune, and if you raise your voice to cry like they used to those time, they had the Sabdaniot and so on. The Levaya Vane, if you go to a Levaya, people will go to your Levaya. The Ta'an, if you carry the Mita, Yitanune, they'll carry your Mita. Those are things that you have to think about, because death is a social occurrence. And since by definition, the dead cannot care for himself, the deceased can't do anything for himself. So it's profoundly social, because the end of life is completely dependent on others. That's the amazing thing. So the ultimate social interaction is Bedavka after life. It's incredible. So of course, not allowing her to be part of the Beit HaAvel is locking the door to a way to live. The Imayat Toed Mishum Davar Acher, if he says that I have a good reason for not allowing her to go, that he can say, what kind of Davar Acher? Omer Rav Yirah Mishmol Mishum Bnei Adam Prutzim Shemitzuyim Sham. He talks about these debauched people that are there. You can't attend these kind of affairs. Look at these people that always are there at the weddings. The whole family stinks. I don't want you to be going to places like this. You can't be hanging around these kind of half-drunken people and so on. That makes a heck of a lot of sense. Chris doesn't want his wife exposed to that type of thing. Amar Rav Ashi, yeah, but he can't just pick this out of a hat, because Lo Amran, Ella, the Ischazik. It's only if this is a chazaka that that's really true and people know that that's true. He can't make it up. Lo Ischazik, Lo Kol Kamine. It's not up to him to decide what kind of terrible people he thinks terrible people. Did people think there's terrible people there? If he says you need to tell them what I said or what you told me, that's then. So let her do that. Vitema, I said, what's terrible about that? No, it means dvarim shokalon. It's like things that aren't nice for other people to know about, either intimate things or maybe something that I said about someone else, or you say, I want you to go and tell them that this is what I said about them and so on, which is like the Rav Anan, the Ananan issue, you know, like in the beginning kind of thing. Okay, that's a machlokas, exactly, I understand. And then he says, if I tell you to fill up and then pour out into the garbage, I understand. So what's so bad about that? Let her do that. Let her fill up garbage pails and take them out of the garbage. So why are we making this a big deal? Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rabbi, Omer Shmuel, he's talking about, come on, obviously there's something sexual. What he's saying is, go fill yourself up with sperm and then get rid of it. Pour it out. I don't want you to ever get pregnant. So if he's going to force her to go do all those kinds of exercises or running around a mitapechet in order to get rid of his sperm, then that means that he is telling her, you are not meant to have descendants that are going to care for you in your old age. That whole thing that a woman can say, even though she's not b'chuyevah superior of Arivia, she says, but I need an arm to hang on to, don't I? I need somebody who's going to bury me, don't I? So that's what he's talking about over here. So if he says, I don't want you to have children, it doesn't matter about the effectiveness of this activity. But the point is that in telling her to act that way, and there can't be any hope in her mind that she's not supposed to be hoping that they have children together, you can't live like that. So to malev in ofetzet, to prevent from getting pregnant, is inappropriate. A brisa says, no, it means literally. I want you to fill up 10 garbage pails full of water and then dump the whole thing into the garbage. No. So, I mean, what's so terrible about that? I mean, the way Shmuel was learning that it has to do with sperm, yes. I understand. But the way that the Braita is saying that, what, she pours out water in the garbage? Who cares? My nafka labina, so go do it. So fill it up. What, does it cost you any money? Do it. You can't do it. Why? Because you look insane. You can't be told that you're going to have a marriage only if you agree to look insane. I'm sorry. What the heck are you doing? So you're not able to live with that. That's grounds for divorce. Very simple. Omer of Kahana, there's another issue that is absolutely grounds for divorce. Somebody who makes a neder, again, how he makes the neder, we already have gone through that issue. But somebody who makes a neder that effectively ends up that she cannot borrow things, she cannot lend the things that neighbors always lend out, like a nafa, a kvara, a sifter, a sieve, a grinder, to use the oven. Yotzi v'yitein ktuva. Why? Shemesia shimra b'shchinotea. Because if she can't, people are going to say, what kind of crazy thing is? She, even though he says don't borrow, what kind of neighbor? She never needs anything. It must be that she doesn't want anybody to feel that they can come and borrow from her. And therefore, what kind of stingy people are these? So you can't live with the reputation of being a rotten neighbor. Tanya Namiyachi, Hamadirat Ishto, Shalotish Al, or Lotash Il. even lo tishal. Nafal kvara rechaim the tanur, things that are always lent out, yotzi v'yitein ktuva. Same thing would be true if he is mekayim it and she makes the neder. V'chein hi shenadra, shelo tash'a v'lo tash'il, rechaim v'tanur, nafa v'kevara, or I'm not going to be busy doing any kind of nice, making nice clothing for the kids for Yontav. Shelo terob v'gadim na'im levanav. She gives him, therefore, a terrible name. Because people will say, oh, so obviously he doesn't give her enough money to buy clothes for the kids. Teitzeh shelo b'ktuva v'pnei shemesiyato shem ra b'shchinav. And the fact that he is such a tightwad that he doesn't allow her to do any type of lending and so on. So then it would be grounds for divorce because of the fact that she is messing up his life. Okay, which brings us right up to the next Mishnah. And that means that Richie's got to be there on time tomorrow and has got to spend the rest of the day practicing. So we're looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to a continuation. And you can see how these various issues of Adir get us closer and closer to an understanding of issues of intimacy and the interrelationships that evolve at different stages of marriage and the responsibility of partners to each other. We continue Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Mesirot Tovot, everybody. Kol Tov.